In the school world tomorrow is parent-teacher conferences. And over this last semester, I've had instances where I have given the homework. They don't know it. I've taught them the homework. I told them there's going to be a quiz over the homework and give them the quiz as the home, or the homework as the quiz, and they still fail. And they say, "Mr. Drew, can you give us another chance? Can you?" And the answer is no. You know, we talk about Christ, and he's the God of the second and third and fourth chance. But God will be merciful to those who he will be merciful to. And sometimes God doesn't give a second chance. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, and the title of my message tonight is No Second Chance. We are looking at Numbers 14, verses 40 through 45. It should be a familiar passage. And it talks about what happened after the nation of Israel rejected Joshua and Caleb's report on the promised land, and they accepted the other spies' answer. And in verses 40 through 45, Numbers chapter 14, it says, "And they rose up early in the morning and got them up to the top of the mountain, saying, 'Lo, we be here, and we'll go up into the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned.' And Moses said, 'Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword, because ye are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you.' But they presumed to go up to the hilltop." They're God's chosen people. God's done all this stuff. He's going to come and intervene. He's going to get them another chance. "Nevertheless, the ark of the covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in the hill, and smote them, and discomfited them, even unto Hormah." The nation of Israel was at Paran. Most people think that Paran is in the wilderness of sin in the middle of the Sinai Peninsula. It does say that in Numbers chapter 12, verse 16, it says, "And afterwards the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran." And if you look right here, here's Hazeroth, and then here is the wilderness of Paran. So they're south of the promised land. And so they're at Paran. They're close by. They're right on the edge of what God had promised them. And they were instructed to spy out Canaan. In Numbers 13, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers ye shall send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. We know the story. They were out there for 40 days. And they came back and they brought back the fruit, the grapes of Eshcol. And they brought out a good report. They said, "The land truly is a land that floweth with milk and honey." But they were intimidated by the inhabitants of the land. In verse 31 of Numbers 13, it said, "But the men that went up with him," that's being Joshua and Caleb, said, "Let's go." And he said, "Wait a second. We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And we know what happened is they rejected God's commandment to go forward. So tonight I want to look at three things about what happens when you reject God one too many times. And there is no chance. The first one is that second chances can and will run out. They can and will run out. And there are several reasons why second chances with God will run out. The first one is when you forget what God has done. Now, there's a great dialogue in Numbers chapter 14 that talks about this. And in verses 21 and 23, it says, "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Because all those men which have seen my glory," they have been in the wilderness now up to a little bit more than 2 years. "They've seen God in the pillar of smoke and the pillar of fire." And it says, "And my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it." God has a right, as the just God, to say that's enough. In Genesis 6, he says, "My spirit will not always strive with man's spirit." And give him the Lord is long-suffering. But in this case here, if God has brought them from Egypt, gave them everything they needed, protected them, provided for them, and now he says, just go in and do this, and they don't do it, no second chance. No second chance. There's an issue here. You may only get one chance to go into eternity, to go to heaven. You can't miss it. You can't miss any chance that God gives to us. We need to seize that opportunity. So second chances run out when you forget what God has done. And one of the charges that God had brought against the nation of Israel here in Numbers 14 is that you've forgotten everything that I've done for you. And folks, when you forget what God has done, you'll forget what he can do, and then you'll reject him. Secondly, second chances run out when you forget what God has promised. You forget his words. Go back a couple of books in Exodus chapter 23, verses 27 and 30. It says, this is what he said. They've been building the tabernacle. They've been setting up the order of worship. And he says, this is what's going to happen when you get to the promised land. He says, I will send my fear before thee. Remember what Rahab said? 40 years after the fact, that everybody shook because the nation of Israel was over at the Jordan River. But now it says, I will send my fear before thee and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hittite and the Canaanite and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little, give us this day our daily bread. I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. Moses tells the nation of Israel, miles away from Canaan, when you get there, don't worry about it. God's got you. He's got you. He's going to use a hornet. I hate hornets. I can just imagine what would have happened. Okay? And the issue is that they've heard this. They heard this when God gave them the law. And they forgot what God has said. All those spies, the heads of the tribe of Israel, with the exception of Jonah, Joshua and Caleb forgot. And then the whole nation forgot. So second chances run out when you forget what God has done. Second chances will run out when you forget what God has said. Second chances will run out when you follow the faithless instead of the faithful. Now we go up a couple of verses in Numbers 14. And in verses 8 through 10, it says, Joshua is talking. He says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And this is where we're hitting. We're hearing what God's saying. So second chances run out when you forget what God has done. Second chances can run out when you forget what God has promised. Second chances can run out when you start following the faithless instead of the faithful. Second chances run out when you fail to realize God's judgment is final. In verse 23, when God appears in the glory at the tabernacle, he says this, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. And to make the point in verses 36 and 37, and it says, and the men which Moses sent to search the land who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander against the land, even those men did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague before the Lord. Now, they've seen this plague happen before. And you would think that, okay, fine. We've messed up. We're not going to be presumptuous. God said what he said. There is no second chance. We'll go ahead and we'll follow God now. No, we get to the text that we had tonight. And they go and they get up on the hill and they say, we're going to do it. And Moses said, don't you do it. And they get discomfited. See, second chances run out when you exhaust the mercy of God for that situation. And you can. Yes, God is a God of love, but he's also a God of justice. And there is consequences. There's too many Christians today. There's too many people today think they can live their life, do their own thing, think their own thing, and think that there's no consequence about it. That God's just going to forgive me. And everything's going to be all right. No, it won't. Here we see in God's word that second chances do run out. But here's the encouragement part. The encouragement part is no second chance now does not mean it's over. No second chance now does not mean that it's over, except that you're just on a new path. See, God is gracious. And where sin abounds, grace, therefore, much more abounds. In verse 25, it says, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. It says, tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. See, even in this problem, God was thinking of their protection. God said, hey, the enemy is out there. Don't go try to fight them. It's not the right time now. You need to learn some stuff. You need to get right with me because you're doing wrong right now. And so he put them on a new path and gives them time to think. When you're on this new path, you got to think about this. In verse 34, it says, after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye what? Bear your iniquities. You know, every day they woke up and they weren't in the promised land for the next 40 years is a constant reminder. We could have been there, but we're here. And folks, what happens is if we don't follow God, we're in the same boat. We could be there, but we're here. Going around the same circle, going around the same mountain, having the same challenges day after day after day. And we know why it's 40 years, because everyone that was 20 years old and upward didn't get into the promised land. See, just because God says there's no second chance now doesn't mean that he's not merciful and on another path. Or he wants you to have time to think. And thirdly, it gives you time to renew your faith. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, it talks about the end of this. In verses 2 and 6, it says, "Then thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness." Now, who's remembering? Well, the ones who are dying, God's protected them. But also the ones that are now going to inherit the land. The ones in Numbers 14 where he said, "You said they're going to be a prey for our enemies." They're going to inherit. They're learning. And folks, our lessons are other people's lessons. And the way we learn them help other people learn them too. And it goes on and says, "To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with" what? "Manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." Sound familiar? "Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these" what? "40 years." There's the long suffering of God. There's the mercy of God. There's the grace of God. "Thou shalt also" what? "Consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt" what? "Keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him." God wants us to do the same thing. He wanted them to do the same thing now that he wanted them to do 40 years ago, and they messed up there, and now here's their chance. Here's their chance to do it. So second chances can run out, but not getting a second chance today doesn't mean that God's not with you. It means that now you're on a new path that God's going to direct you on to get you back to a position where you can honor and you can follow him. The last thing is, you can't go backwards, but you can go forward. I'll close with this. Very short message tonight. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." God wanted me to preach this tonight. So I was reading through, this passage came out in November. You know, there's too many people today thinking that God's going to give me another chance. You have today. You have now. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. God's got a plan for you. You need to do it today. I've heard thee in a now and time accepted. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The issue is, do right now when you have the choice to make. It may not come back a second time. You know what God's telling you to do. You know what your walk with God is. You know what path you're on. Get on his path. Do it his way. And glorify him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for an opportunity, Lord, just to hear your word. Father, you say in your word that these things are an example for us. And Lord, I just ask that we not waste that opportunity. Now, Father, if there's someone here or on the web tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, Lord, this is their chance. They may not get another one. And Lord, I pray that they would realize that you died on the cross for their sins, you were buried, and you rose again the third day to show that you have power over sin, power to forgive sin, and power to give eternal life. Father, for us that's confronted with trials, Father, I pray that you just help us to understand that you give us everything that we need. And Lord, help us not to pass that up. Help us, Lord, not to forget what you've done in the past. Help us, Lord, to remember the abundant promises in your word. Father, help us, Lord, to understand what you're going to give to us, Lord, and what you have promised. And Lord, help us to follow that. Lord, I pray that someone is wasting chances that tonight that they will take this opportunity and turn to you with their lives. Father, help us to be rededicated to you tonight. Send revival. Help us, Lord, to do what you want us to do, that we could do right tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.